What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, your host, and we are so happy to be back here on another Wednesday bringing you another episode of CUSA Insider. Like I said, we're going to be a lot better this year about doing a new podcast every single week, hopefully dropping every Wednesday. So just make sure wherever you're listening, whether that be Apple, Spotify, make sure that you go and subscribe to CUSA Insider so that you never miss a new episode. We have a super fun one for you today. I am lovingly calling it the Battle of I-10 Coaches Edition. So we have two of our new head coaches in the league on the show today. First up, we will have New Mexico State's Tony Sanchez joining the show. And then right after that, we will have an interview with UTEP's Scotty Walden. I had the pleasure of talking to both of these guys a couple of days ago, and we get to talk to them again next week at Media Day. But today we're going to spend some time getting to know the man, not the football team necessarily. We'll talk about the X's and O's at Football Media Day next week, but I'm so excited to get to bring you two interviews in this episode between two rivals within the conference. So like I said, first up, you're going to hear from Tony Sanchez, new head coach at New Mexico State, but he is not a stranger to the program. He is an alumni. He played for the Aggies back in the 90s, and he was on the coaching staff under Coach Kill just last year. So we're really excited to get to hear from him. And then following that, directly after, don't go anywhere because we have a great interview with UTEP's head coach, Scotty Walden. And if you have seen anything about him on social media over the past couple of months since they announced him as the head coach, he is a fun guy to talk to. He is passionate, he is energetic, and he really brings it. So we've got a little bit of a longer episode for you today, but please stick around till the end. Sit back, relax, enjoy it, and use it as a way to get prepared for next week. CUSA football kickoff, our Media Day event, is happening next Tuesday, July 23rd, in Frisco, Texas, at the PGA of America headquarters. It will all be live on ESPN Plus starting at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time, so definitely be sure to tune into that. All right, everybody, I'm going to stop talking and let you guys listen to these interviews. First up is New Mexico State head coach Tony Sanchez. All right, everybody, our guest on the show today is Tony Sanchez, the 36th head football coach of the New Mexico State Aggies, an Aggie through and through. Coach, thank you for joining the program today. Excited to have you on and get to chat with you a bit here before Football Media Day.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Excited about the season and get the batteries recharged. Just had a little bit of a break, so ready to go.
Absolutely. Well, I just mentioned it a little bit in the open, an Aggie through and through. But you yourself are actually an alumni of New Mexico State University and the Aggie football program. So how much does it mean to you to get to lead this group of men on the field back at your alma mater?
You know, it's a tremendous opportunity. I mean, I remember back in 1994 coming up here to play and played for Jim Hess and got my coaching career started coaching here as an undergraduate assistant. And it's been a heck of a journey, but it all started because of the opportunity Mexico State gave me. And, you know, anytime you go to a school, you follow it closely. It's part of who you are. It's part of your DNA. You know, and I've always, you know, followed them and seen how they've done over the years and always been a big supporter of them. So now to have the opportunity to the last couple of years to come back and be an assistant and help get this program moving in the right direction. And now having the, you know, because of the turn of events, having the chance to lead it, it's really special. So excited about it. Proud of it and fired up for the season and the future.
Well, I know that there are a lot of people there in the community that are excited about it as well, including your athletic director, Mario Mocha. So when he was introducing you as the next head coach of the football program, he said that, "I believe we have our man. Let's not let up on the positive momentum." With you being a part of this program last year in its first season as a member of Conference USA that won 10 games, beat a Power 5 SEC opponent in Auburn, and played for the CUSA title game. How do you plan to keep the Aggies trending upward in this 2024 season?
It's just keeping that grit going. You know, Coach Kill came here, put together a really good football staff, and yeah, I think we recruited really well over the years. And the biggest thing for us is just being tough, hard-nosed guys, showing up and, you know, being a physical football team. And, you know, Coach Klein, our strength coach, is still with us. And just that whole, the DNA part about just, you know, putting your nose to the grindstone, not making excuses and going to work. And that's who we've been the last couple of years, who we'll continue to be. And I'm fully confident in our ability to keep moving forward.
Okay, you talk about, you know, just being able to be gritty, hard-nosed. There is something that I've noticed on social media over the past couple of weeks. There's this hashtag ride for the brand, okay? And so I'm curious, if you can, give me a little bit of insight into what that means exactly. And I mean, it's plastered all over every social media post having to do with the Aggie football program. So what is ride for the brand?
Well, you know, if I'm being completely honest, I mean, it was an interesting offseason. You know, we had a lot of coaches that left that had, you know, interesting times, took a lot of players with them in the different places they went. You know, NIL went, you know, full steam ahead, obviously with the multiple transfer deal. And, you know, we have 42 new guys. And our whole thing, our message to guys was, hey, you know what? You're going to be here. You're going to ride for the brand. You know, you got to bleed this thing. And, you know, for however long you're here, this has got to be an important part of your life. You got to believe in this place. You got to believe in Las Cruces, New Mexico State, the players you're playing with, the coaches you're with, and we got to be all in. So that's our whole thing, is riding for the brand. It's hard in this day and age when you have so much turnover to kind of find that continuity, that loyalty, and it's something that suffers a little bit. And, you know, and I think that's going to be the trick in this day and age for coaches, is how do you create chemistry and team and you know, with a lot of turnover, and we had a lot of it. So our whole thing was ride for the brand and put this place above you and play for the name, not only on the back, but the name on front of your jersey.
That's great. I do want to ask you a little bit of an NIL question here, because you mentioned it. So obviously you were a high school coach for a number of years, winning great, great programs there, that you were part of state championship teams and things like that. But the landscape now as a college, or as a recruit in high school coming into college, is so different with all of this NIL things. And now you have the college football video game dropping later today. People want to see their names all over it. What is it like for you as a coach who's been part of the industry for several years now, just trying to navigate that landscape?
Yeah, you know, when these rules change, they don't kind of, we don't ease into these things. I mean, it just happens like overnight, you know? And yeah, I mean, over the last 2 years, you talked about college football being flipped on its head, you know, as far as like NIL and things like that. And there's some good stuff about it, and there's some rough stuff about it, and just the multiple transfers, things like that. So I think it's one of those deals where you can't panic and can't worry about it. It's not going to change, right? So it's about how you manage it and how you message it, and making sure that, yeah, you're giving these kids an opportunity to come here and make a couple extra dollars while they're playing for you, but making sure that they earn it and they respect it. And that you're really doing a good job of finding the right character people to invest in. It's kind of a business. It's a business transaction now, you know, and that's totally different than the game I played. And, you know, and honestly, it doesn't bother me. I don't dislike it. It is what it is. It's about moving forward and learning how to navigate this new sea that we're in.
Well, because I'm sitting here right now in the Conference USA office, I have to ask you a Conference USA question. So obviously, the league has seen a lot of change. We're talking about change over the last several years. Now we are entering the 2024-25 athletic season, and we're adding another school in Kennesaw State. Next year, we're adding two more schools in Missouri State and Delaware. So what is it about the level of competition in Conference USA that gets you excited, especially with the opportunity to play for a spot in that 12-team playoff at the end of the year?
Well, I mean, you just saw it last year with Liberty. You know, obviously, we had a chance to play them in the championship game, and they did a tremendous job there. And, you know, and if that playoff schedule would have been in place last year, Liberty's playing in it. So, I mean, so you have a team from Conference USA that would have represented us in that playoff scenario. That's exciting to know that we're already right there at the tip of the sword. When you look at, first of all, geographically, man, we are spread out, right? You get to see all kinds of different places all across the country. We've got a lot of good veteran coaches that have done it for a long time. We've got some up-and-coming young coaches. I mean, it's a really competitive conference. We know that firsthand after last year, and really excited about it. We know you know, we won 10 games last year, and I bet you we won over half of those games by less than a score. I mean, it was a battle every week. So, you know, you gotta be ready to throw down in this conference.
Yeah, we got lucky
several years ago, whenever somebody chose to name us Conference USA instead of a geographical name, because there's some conferences struggling out there now when they're all spread out and they're the Atlantic Coast Conference, but they are no longer on the Atlantic Coast. So we got lucky with the USA name. Well, Coach, I did want to ask you a question, a little bit more of a personal question maybe, but New Mexico State has a very large Hispanic student population there. But I think some people may be surprised to know that you were actually the very first Hispanic head football coach there for the Aggies. So as a proud man of Puerto Rican descent, what does it mean to you to have the opportunity to be not only the first head football coach of Hispanic descent of the Aggie football program, but also one of the only Hispanic football coaches in FBS Division I football?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those deals where when you're kind of making your way up through your career, you don't think a whole lot about it. You know, you don't want the opportunities because of that. But when it does happen, if it inspires somebody, if it just opens the door to show possibility and what can be done, that's a good thing. You know, I know that I've, you know, because of a lot of unbelievable young men and guys that I've worked with, I've gained these opportunities through achievement, you know. But being Hispanic, you know, having that Sanchez last name, there's a lot of kids that I've coached throughout the years at the high school level, at the college level, and there's not a lot of us with this name in the game, you know. I mean, you got two of us in this conference. You got Rodriguez and Sanchez, right? There's not a lot else out there. But it makes me proud, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to keep your head down. If I wanted to make a difference, then you need to have some success, right? So it creates more opportunity. And you do that by just doing your job and not worrying about things like that. And it'll take care of itself. But it's a cool thing.
Talk to me a little bit about the community there in Las Cruces. Obviously, like I said before, you're coming back home. You know New Mexico State and Las Cruces well. What has the community buy-in been like that you've seen so far? Are you expecting some full stands coming into this football season?
Yeah, you know, tell you what, the evolution the last couple of years has been awesome. I mean, you know, from that first game, I think there was a lot of people, there was a lot of hope, a lot of want, but they still kind of doubted whether or not we could get it done. And, you know, we came out of the gate really slow that first year, and we kind of picked up some wins at the end of the season, got people going, kind of surprised people. Going into last year, I think there was a lot more excitement, a lot of people believed a little bit more, and then all of a sudden, again, we went on that crazy run. And right now with the change of Coach Kill and with the NIL, I think there's a lot of like, oh man, like, you know, are we on solid ground? What's going on here? And I get it. You know, I mean, it's part of college football, right? But I know there's a lot of optimism out there. And I think that we go out there and you see this team take the field. You know, I mean, our goal is to go 1-0. We haven't been 1-0 in the last two seasons, and we've had good years, but we've always stumbled out of the gate. So I think, you know, we got a tough opponent in Simu, but we need to be focused. We need to come on out. Fight and get that first W and get this whole thing rolling again. And I know this community is ready to just rock and roll with us and pack those stands. And it's a cool blue collar community, you know, an ag community. These people are good people. They really care. You just walk through the grocery stores, restaurants, wherever you go, people are polite to each other. They care about each other. They care about this university, this community, and they're ready to jump on board with us.
One thing that I love about the geographical location there in Las Cruces is that right down the road, I think it's like a 45-minute drive, UTEP in El Paso is just right there. And it creates such a cool, natural rivalry that existed before you guys were both members of Conference USA, but it's just amplified that much more now that you guys are in the same league. Can you tell me a little bit about just the atmosphere at that game? Is it something that you've got on your calendar, that Battle of I-10? Are you looking forward to it? And just be careful with your answer, because I did mention to you Scotty Walden is joining me later on the program, so he may have something to say about it.
No doubt. Scotty's a good guy. I got a chance to hang out with him at the Conference USA meetings down in Destin and got to know him well. Great guy. I know he's gonna do a good job there. But you know, having been a player here, I know this thing intimately, probably more so than any of the coaches coaching in the game. You know, I played in it, you know, I've won games in it. You know, I mean, I remember being at UTEP my junior year, and I think we were down 19-0 and came back and won in the last second. And it's a big deal. I guess the trick nowadays, though, when you have all this turnover on rosters, is getting those players to understand the importance of it. You know, obviously, geographically with UTEP, they kind of know. We run into them in recruiting battles and things like that. So it's a big deal. And the cool thing this year, it's the last game of the season. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff. So I'm sure it'll be a great atmosphere, you know. So between, you know, it's great having them so close. It's a fun rivalry, and we're excited about it. So we just gotta keep on the good side of it.
Yeah, I'm super excited that that game is back on Rivalry Weekend where it belongs, right after Thanksgiving, like you said. Well, Coach, one more kind of serious question before we get to a fun one. But if I was to ask your players right now in the locker room, what is the one thing that Coach Sanchez is a stickler about? What does he stand on that he is not coming off of? What do you think that they would say?
Well, number one, punctuality. Don't be late. Don't even try it, right? So punctuality and an attitude and effort. I mean, I truly believe that. You know, your attitude is everything. You wake up, a lot of things you're not in control of, but you're in control of your attitude every single day, and it'll reflect in the effort you give. So be on time, have a great attitude, and give us everything you got, and we'll be all right.
All right, Coach, my final question for you, which I think that most of our listeners scrub through these interviews half the time to get to because it's the best question. We're going to talk about food, and it's going to be a good one because we're talking about New Mexico here right now. So I've only gotten the chance to visit New Mexico once. I went to Albuquerque, actually, for my first anniversary with my husband, and I can tell you one thing for certain. There is some good food in New Mexico. So in Las Cruces, if any of our fans or myself are coming to visit for a game, can you give me a couple of restaurants that you would recommend for us to visit and what we should definitely make sure we get to eat there?
All right. Well, that's a good one because New Mexican food is amazing, right? A little different with all that Hatch green chili, right? So you definitely got to go to Si Señor's. Si Señor's is amazing, right? El Sombrero, kind of a little hole in the wall, but unbelievable food. If you want a really cool old school experience, you walk in this old 1920s kind of bar, you got to go to Double Eagle, the steak place, but really, really good. But it's really unique if you walk in there. Those would probably be my three go-tos. Oh, and brunch, you got to go to Salud.
Coach, I think that's a great list. I'm sitting here. It's 1:15 local time here in Dallas, and I haven't eaten lunch yet, so you're making me real hungry. I think it's about time for me to wrap this up so that I can go get a bite to eat. But, Coach, we really appreciate the time today. Thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to seeing you again just a week from now in Frisco, Texas for CUSA Football Media Day.
There you go. Fired up about it. Appreciate you, and go Aggies.
Up next on the show, we have a very special guest for you, known for his high energy, innovation, and competitive attitude. Joining us from El Paso, Texas, UTEP head football coach Scotty Walden. Coach Walden, I am hitting my afternoon slump over here, so I hope you are ready to bring the enthusiasm.
I got you, Sarah. I'll see what I can do, okay? But thanks for having me on the podcast, and really excited to represent UTEP and be on.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely get more in the weeds about your football program next week at Conference USA Football Media Day. But I want to spend some time on today's show asking you a few questions about who you are and giving our CUSA fans and listeners the opportunity to get to know Coach Scotty Walden. So I think if you have been following along since you were announced as the head coach of the Miners back in December, there is one thing that people can see for sure, and that is that you are very, very passionate. I'm sure you get asked about this a lot, but where does all of that energy come from? Because I know that you have a newborn at home, and as a mom of two, I know how it goes. So yeah, I just, where do you get that high energy? How do you keep it up? And how does it really contribute to your coaching style?
Well, no, number one, I have a great wife who manages the two minions, as we call them, that are running rampant in our house. Literally before I jumped on this podcast, my son was, I think, trying to take me to the main event at WrestleMania before I walked in the door. So God bless you. You know what it's like. But so she allows me to conserve some of my energy, with those two. But I really appreciate you bringing up that word passion, because that's what I want to be known for. People talk about energy all the time, and energy is great. Positive energy is what's more important, though. And I think that translates to passion, you know. And I think when you're passionate about something, I think that means that you have a love for what you're doing. And I just, I've always been one of those people that it's hard for me to be a toe dipper, whatever, since I was little, going through high school, anything I put my mind to and I got invested in, I either was all in on it or I was not in on it at all. I couldn't be half-hearted. And I've just never work that way. But I've been a believer for a long time. I'm a man of faith. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is what fuels my fire and my passion, and it just so happens that the path that I've gone down is, you know, to be a football coach. And I was inspired by that by my high school coach who, you know, I grew up in a single parent home, and he really, Phil Young is his name. And I played for him there at Cleburne High School, just 30 minutes south of Fort Worth, and played quarterback for him. And he's retired now in Fort Worth. And we still talk to this day about major life decisions and all sorts of things. And it just goes to show the impact a coach can have in someone's life. And when I got around him, I started to grow just an appreciation for the game. And I already love sports. I grew up playing all sports, and you know, just they were a huge part of my life. But then when I met Coach Young, it was like, you know, this guy was super passionate about investing in the people. And that's what I eventually, when I saw that, I was like, man, that's what I want to be. I want to invest in the people, you know, because we're in the people business, and that's what we are. I know we try to move a football, you know, that's, you know, wrapped in pigskin and laces, and, you know, try to put it across the goal line, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, this is the people business. And so I think when you're passionate about, you know, the calling that God's got on your life, and yet you love what you're doing every day, I think that energy and that passion just naturally comes out.
That is so cool. Well, I mean, you mentioned it before. You're back in the great state of Texas. You were born and raised here, and you spent your playing career up in Alpine at Sol Ross, and you were the youngest head coach in the NCAA at the time at age 26 there at East Texas Baptist. Born and raised, like you said, just west of here in Cleburne, Texas, which, by the way, I know where Cleburne is because my husband is from Glen Rose, Texas. So
he's a Glen Rose Tiger. That's
he
awesome.
Is a Glen Rose Tiger. And he actually, I talked to him right before we got on. He almost went to Sol Ross. You guys were almost teammates. Small world.
That is a small world.
Yes. And then I know
he's a good man from Glen Rose.
He is. I'm very biased, but he's a very good man. And then I know that you also spent a couple of years at LD Bell High School up the road in Hearst, which is, I go to church in Hearst, so I know LD Bell very well. Wow. So look at this, all of the connections here, that Coach Waldo. It is. How does it feel, though, to be back in the Lone Star State coaching at a Division I FBS university?
It's a blessing, Sarah. I mean, it's, you know, this is home for me and my wife. You know, my wife, Callie, we went to high school together in Cleburne and met there, and both of our families are in Fort Worth. And, you know, even just like little things like coming to Conference USA Media Days up in Frisco, you know, like, you know, I just get the kind of, you know, you get back to your homeland, so to speak. And it's so cool. But when, you know, that was always my goal, was wherever the college journey, wherever God took us, you know, we were great with that. But we always eventually wanted to get back to the great state of Texas. And obviously no better way to do it than to come back and, you know, get an opportunity to lead an FBS program and a program that's so ready for just, you know, I think a rise like UTEP and El Paso, Texas, and my time in Alpine, you know, getting to spend time out there and coach out there and play out there, got to spend a lot of time with, you know, players and coaches from El Paso. I just, the thing that always stood out to me, I thought was just so distinct, was the love that everybody had for El Paso that was from El Paso. And I had never been there before, and I kind of just went through a couple times, and you know, getting to live here now, I see what they're talking about, because it's literally the best kept secret in the state of Texas. I mean, it is an unbelievable city and place and people, and there's so much here to be proud of, and there's so much here to showcase, and we're just scratching the surface of that. But to be back in the state of Texas, to get to go to, you know, I'm flying out this Saturday to go to coaching school at THSCA, you know, like, that's like goals, man. You know, I got my Dave Campbell's magazine, you know, in the mail. I still got it even when I was in Tennessee and Mississippi, but it just feels different now I'm in Texas. And so it's just really cool to be back in the great state. My wife and I couldn't be more thrilled.
That's awesome. I was going to ask this question a little bit later, but you kind of led me right into it. I think El Paso really is a great, like, one of the best kept secrets, like what you were saying, in the state. It is so fun to visit. It's beautiful. The food is fantastic. The people are wonderful. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. You guys play in one of the best venues in the country at the Sun Bowl. One of the best. What has it been like for you and your family just getting to integrate there into that community? And what has been, like, one of your favorite things maybe about the 915 since moving there?
Yeah, no doubt. I couldn't agree with you more about everything you said about El Paso, and it's every bit of that. The coolest kind of deal so far. I'll try to do two things, like a personal one and maybe just a touristy one. You know, number one, obviously our son, Maverick, our second son, was born February 10th. So, you know, my wife is the MVP of all of this. You know, she was 36 weeks pregnant when we took the job. And I just think it speaks to the El Paso community. I tell recruits and parents the story all the time about, you know, how my wife, you know, came out here and we were transitioning, moving, you know, and moving across the country and having to find a new doctor and a new, you know, pediatrician, you know, and you're coming into a place you don't know. And it just, I think, speaks volumes to the people of El Paso and just how helpful they were in helping us, you know, find a place. And then it's so cool that my son was born right here in El Paso, Texas, literally a stone's throw from our stadium. It's pretty awesome. So just to like that type of community and environment, you know, was so cool to see everybody, you know, just be so willing to help us out and accommodate us. And then we got so many, I mean, God, from a standpoint of, just cool things to do and places to eat. I mean, like we have absolutely just loved getting to like, try all these new Mexican food restaurants from L&J's to Kiki's. You know, you just go down the list of all the cool things to do, but we've just, the food here is unbelievable. Look, and no one told me this really, but the steak, that out here is like a whole nother deal too. Now you got great Mexican food, but you got great steaks. There's a place called 1700 Degree Steakhouse, which is in Paso del Norte Hotel, which is one of the coolest hotels I think in the country. I mean, this place is just immaculate, and that's the best steak I've ever had in my life. I've never, Sarah, eaten at a place where they bring you out the knives to cut your steak, but then they let you. It's like they open this deal. And they're like, pick your. The waiter literally was like, pick your weapon of choice, and I'm like, what are you talking?
Wow.
And it's like pick your steak knife. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it was a really cool deal. So just there's so many iconic, unique things in El Paso, and the community has just been so good embracing us, and you're not gonna meet better people.
That's super cool. Tell me a little bit about the university there and the athletic department. I mean, you got to campus and you became a minor immediately. You were taking your shirt off at basketball games and painting your body and doing all sorts of, and you know, it's all right, doing all sorts of things. But I mean, it just gets back to who you are and being passionate. What is it like just being there on campus and the people that you get to work with?
Yeah, number one, Jim Center, athletic director, and our president, Dr. Wilson. The best thing about them is they're super, super passionate people as well. But they are so good about just, you know, embracing, you know, who I am and like, and letting me be me, you know? And I think that's been really cool. Like to work with people that, yeah, we have, don't get me wrong when I say that, like we have structure, we have, you know, things we abide by, all that. I mean, we have a culture and, you know, but like, you know, they do a great job of not just with myself, but my time here so far, seeing the other coaches and how they let their personalities naturally come out. So when the idea came up, you know, like to take my shirt off and run around a basketball game, they were like all gung-ho about it, you know, and they were full board. So much so about my AD, you know, I ran around and did that, and I went in the stands with the fraternity and just trying to get the energy up. He literally held my shirt the entire game that I took off and gave it to me, you know, after the basketball game, and waited that long. And like, it was just like, you know, little things like that, just the embracing, you know, the energy and embracing, hey, this new era of football and the new type of attitude we're trying to bring to the program, right? You know, we're trying to infuse, you know, the university with energy and infuse our athletic department with energy and bring a whole new attitude and mindset to UTEP football and the UTEP athletics and the university as a whole. And they've embraced that with open arms. And it's been so cool just to feel like I can be myself. You know, and do whatever it takes, whether it means taking my shirt off, running around a basketball arena or fundraising or whatever it takes to, you know, to get the energy right in El Paso. But I really appreciate, the support that they have shown in helping us grow our program and even just little things behind the scenes, just trying to manipulate things to make it better. We started our Goldmine Collective the day before our spring game. You know, a collective for football and for the athletic department had never been done out here before. And just things like that, just trying to change the dynamic out here in El Paso and you know, transform our football program into a winner and a constant, you know, consistent competitor. You know, so I've been super excited, you know, to have them on board. And I it's fun working with them every day.
So when you took your shirt off and ran around the basketball arena, I couldn't help but draw a parallel between you and another former Conference USA coach and another former Austin Peay coach, Will Healy, who also was known for taking his shirt off and swinging it around in locker rooms and other places. But it kind of does say a lot about the attitude and the locker room that you guys ran there at Austin Peay. It was a high energy place. It was a very competitive place. You racked up several accolades there over your 4 years as a head coach, two conference championships, an undefeated conference record, and breaking several school records while you were there. So how difficult is it, or maybe it's simple, how is it to just build off of that momentum that you had going there in Clarksville and bring that same sort of like energy and passion to the minors there at UTEP?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, Sarah, about Clarksville. Must be something in the water in Clarksville, Tennessee. They need to test it out, you know, kind of infecting the coaches out there. I don't know. But, yeah, I think it's a great point. This game, not only from, you know, football X's and O's and the actual game itself, but when you run a program, it's all about momentum, right? It's all about the energy you create. And I think we've done a great job of sustaining the momentum from Austin Peay to UTEP. And that has been simple because that's just who we are, you know, and I was very fortunate to bring, you know, just about every member of my staff with me, you know, and even several players that jumped into the portal and decided to come to UTEP. It makes it the transition a little easier when you have so many familiar faces and you can infuse the energy and kind of pick up where you left off momentum wise. But building a program's hard. You know, we went through a lot of challenges. You know, you rattled off a lot of great accolades that we were able to accomplish there at Austin Peay, and that came with a lot of grit and hard work and a lot of you know, trying times. You know, and we know that those times are ahead of UTEP too. We're not naive to the fact that everything's just going to be glitz and glamour and rainbows. You know, we got a program to build. We've got a culture to establish. You know, and that takes hard work, and when you do it the right way, it takes hard work and takes time. And so, but in terms of the energy and the momentum, that was really easy to carry it over. I really have appreciated and been super impressed with how the players, not only the ones that came in with us in our recruiting class, but the ones that remained on the roster and decided to stay, those guys have just embraced everything with open arms and just gone all in. And that's something I was really, when you take a program over, you know, my second time doing it now. I mean, I've been a head coach more than that, but like when I got my first head coaching job at East Texas Baptist, I was promoted from within, so I kind of was already in it. But when you take a program over, you know, there's going to be natural. I don't know if I like that, or I don't know if I'm going to jump in line with that. And I've been super impressed with how bad these guys want to win, and just embracing the energy, the culture. So, I mean, the other day in the weight room, somebody put this on social media. I mean, I just walked by the weight room just to see how the guys were doing. And they're going nuts in there doing a competition. And they're like, jump off the table, coach. We'll catch you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, and they're like, do it, man. And I'm just like, all right. And I just jump off this table. And they just grab me and go crazy for literally no reason, you know. And I'm just like, I love it. You know, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know if we had a good day in the weight room. I got no clue. But I know we got great energy. And you know what? Great things start with great enthusiasm and great energy and passion. And we got that down. That's for sure.
That's awesome. I mean, that sounds like a good time there in El Paso. Well, Coach, you seem like you're kind of in and know what you're doing there on social media. And there's this hashtag that's floating around on some UTEP social posts, hashtag win the West. And I was hoping maybe you could give me some insight into what exactly that means.
Yeah, 100%. I appreciate you asking that, Sarah. Yeah, when I interviewed for the job and presented kind of my vision and plan for the program, that was our program mantra was win the West. And the way I explained it to Jim Center and our president and explained it to our players, it's a very simple process. We number one, winning the West means number one, we want to win El Paso. Like, we want to win our community. And that means, you know, we're going to invest time in community service. We're going to recruit in the city of El Paso. I just believe that, like, no matter where you take a job, you look at the great teams that win championships and they're consistently winning year in, year out, they own their region and they own their city in recruiting. And it always starts at home. And I think as a college coach, sometimes it's really easy to overlook the people that are sitting right here in your backyard. And we've got a great niche here in Texas and El Paso, Texas. There are some guys in this city that can help us win a championship. And so we're going to start here. We're going to win El Paso and we're going to win the community. We know our guys put in over 400 hours of community service this past spring, and I was very, very proud of that. We have a, you brought this up, we have a very unique opportunity here that I think a lot of G5 programs do not have. We have a stadium that holds nearly 60,000 people, you know, 51,000, 52,000 to be exact, right? But the deal is there's a lot of G5 stadiums, you know, stadiums in our conference, stadiums I've, you know, when I was in Southern Miss and getting to play at other places, they don't have the opportunity to fill that thing up and create a Power Four environment. We have an opportunity to create a Power Four environment if we do this the right way. But that starts with winning El Paso and getting people in the stands to where, you know, we're competing in Conference USA, but the environment that people come play in feels like they're going to, you know, to Tennessee. It feels like they're going to A&M or something like that along those lines. And that's where we want to build this program to. And so we have to win our community first if we're ever going to have a chance of doing that. And then number two is we want to win West Texas. You know, we want to be the school in West Texas people talk about attending. You know, when you talk about regional, you go to Midland, Odessa, you go to Abilene. You know, you go to these cities in West Texas, right? You go to Amarillo, the Panhandle, you go to these places. I want them to talk about being a minor, and I want them to look regionally at staying at home and staying in, around, you know, an area where their families can travel and come watch them play. And we want to be the school in West Texas that exemplifies that. Then number three is we want to win the state of Texas. We want to create a program to where the young men in the state of Texas want to attend UTEP because they love what's going on out there. They love the passion. They love the energy. I mean, there's so many people that ask me my recruiting strategy when I've taken this job. And, you know, again, I haven't dove into what's been done in the past, but it sounds like just that there's been, you know, some, you know, staffs that believe in going out west, going to California, Arizona, things like that. And we're never going to turn down a great player no matter where he's from. But our recruiting is just going to be Texas. This is the University of Texas at El Paso, last time I checked. And so we're going to own the state of Texas in recruiting. You know, we signed one of the best players, Jalen Jones, in our last recruiting classes on campus with us now. And he's the number one rated recruit in school history. And he's from Beaumont, Texas, 900 miles away. So, you know, don't tell me that we can't recruit the state of Texas in El Paso. We can. And we just got to get out and do it. And so we're going to win the state of Texas in recruiting. And we want to be ultimately number four, last and not least with Win the West. We want to be the most prominent, consistent G5 program in the country. You know, the college football playoff allows for one spot, you know, for a G5 program to participate. And last year that came from a team in our league, Liberty, in Conference USA. And so, you know, we have the mindset here, why not us? You know, why can't we be the team in Conference USA? We have all the resources. We have a phenomenal recruiting hotbed. We have a phenomenal landscape. We got great fans. We have a great stadium. So why can't we be in that national spotlight? Why can't we build this program into a consistent winner? But it starts with winning the West and winning at home, and then you know, building our program into a nationally respected program.
Awesome. Well, you talked about a lot of things there, which leads me right into my next question. You talked about filling that stadium, creating a good atmosphere, having a very great recruiting ground right there in your backyard. But just down the road, there is an in-conference rival in New Mexico State who also stomps the same recruiting grounds that you do, which makes that rivalry game, the Battle of I-10, that much more interesting. So that is one that is bound to fill any stadium down there. The distance between Las Cruces and El Paso is something like, I don't know, 45 or 50 miles. It's not long. Are you looking forward to that game this year? And you have another new head coach down the road, too. So you guys are both kind of new with this. It's going to be a really good game. What are you looking forward to in the Battle of I-10 this year?
Yeah, well, I think anytime you get to go to a place and you have a really cool rivalry that is, you know, like, the cool thing is I love how our schedule fell to where we play on rivalry week. You know, like, that was so cool. And whoever made that decision, kudos to them. I think that was great. And, you know, that's college football, right? I mean, guys want to be a part of a rivalry that means something. And we're 45 minutes away. We're both out here in the borderland. And you know, I think that's such a unique rivalry that it's a really cool thing. Coach Tony Sanchez I've gotten a chance to meet him, you know, just through conference, you know, meetings and different events. And man, he's such a good person. And he's been a head coach before at this level. Got a lot more experience than I do, so you know, he knows what it takes to win at this level. And those guys, I mean, you know, you look at what they've been able to do out there in New Mexico State. You know, I think it paves the way for us in a sense, you know, to show the man, you know what, a team from the borderland can do it, you know, and they have done an amazing job recruiting and beating teams like Auburn and competing for a conference championship. That's where we want to be one day, you know? And so we're really excited about that rivalry. It's so good for our fan bases and it's so good for recruiting. But I think no matter where you play that game, whether it's over there in Las Cruces or it's over here in the Sun Bowl, it's going to be a packed house no matter what. And that's really exciting for our players. So yeah, we're really thrilled about that. Obviously I'm one of those guys, I'm a process driven person, and all I'm focused on right now is Nebraska, because that's game one. If the Battle of I-10 was game one, I'd be a lot more focused on it. But I think it's great for our fan bases. But they have done, through Coach Kill and Coach Sanchez, what they've done out there has been unbelievable. And that's eventually where we want to get our program to that level.
Yeah, it's super fun. Like you said, that it's on rivalry weekend this year. But so I have one more thing that I have to talk to you about. It is not really football related, but I'm gonna end with this. And we're going to finish it out here. So we all know through the course of this conversation, you are a very competitive man. Well, I learned something about you recently that I have to ask you about. So at CUSA spring meetings this past May, I heard that you picked up pickleball.
Words spreads at Commerce USA pretty good, huh?
It sure does. And so there was a pickleball tournament there at spring meetings, and you got paired up on a team with Coach Jamie Chadwell. So I wasn't there, but I just can imagine how insanely competitive these games were with you two. So can you tell the folks listening, are you still playing pickleball? Are you two going pro? Are you planning to get back on the court together? Where's that headed?
All I'll say is next year we're going to just keep that same energy, Sarah, because next year we do this interview. And after me and Coach Chad will kill it next year at Conference USA head coaching meetings, all right, in pickleball, all right, I want everybody that's been saying something, I want to have a conversation with, because we're going to get better. All I know is all we'll say about this year was it was a starting point. I'll say that. I mean, I think we got – we became the team that everybody wanted to play really quick. I'll just put it that way. to look for an easy dub. Matter of fact, I think one team came up to it was like, hey, we need to win one more game to get in this championship. Can we play you guys? I'm like, oh, man, thanks. You know, but here's the deal. It's all about getting better. Me and Coach Chadwell, we strategize, and I know this: the 3 hours that we played pickleball that day, and all the sunburns we got, and all that, it was worth it because we got better. The last match, we were at our best, and it wasn't our best was not very good, but it was better than we started. So we're gonna keep getting better for sure.
You got to start somewhere, and it's all about getting better. That's the goal. That's the goal right there.
Right.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. We will see you next week. It's crazy. It's already coming up at Conference USA Football Media Day up the road in Frisco, Texas. Looking forward to getting to chat with you again, but thank you so much again for the time today.
Look forward to it, Sarah. Thanks for having me on, and we'll see you then. Picks up. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Coach Sanchez and Coach Walden for joining CUSA Insider this week. I don't know about you guys, but it got me pumped up and ready for this football season. Conference USA is going to be a fun league to watch this year, and it's all getting started next week. Like I said before, CUSA football kickoff media days is in Frisco, Texas, July 23rd. That's next Tuesday. The entire show is going to be broadcast live on ESPN+, starting at 10 a.m. Central Time. So definitely be sure to tune into that. And guys, like I said at the top of the program, I would hate for you guys to miss another great episode of CUSA Insider. So be sure that you are subscribing wherever you're listening, on Apple or Spotify. Give us a follow on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And if you have any questions, concerns, suggestions, anything really that you want to tell us about the show, you can email us at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com, and we promise to get back to you. All right, guys, thank you so much again for listening in to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.